Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, family in Christ, friends, brothers, sisters. We've got the Alex Newman here today, Liberty Sentinel Media CEO. It's great to have him back. Before we get to Alex, though, he is coming to Green Bay in less than 2 months. Mark your calendar, circle your TV guide. Boy, did I sound like someone in the 80s talking about a TV guide. But anyway, I want to mention real quick before we're going to talk about Epstein, we're going to talk about the Middle East, we're talking about intensifying battles at home, talking about his book, Woke and Weaponized. But first, sponsorship. If you're interested, or you know someone who is, like a Christian church or ministry or business, in sponsoring the Worldview Matters Conference, please get a hold of us. I just want to bring up the sponsor page and just thank people. Like, we're thankful for Liberty Sentinel and Alex, and thankful for so many others, people that I interview, also people that just are local businesses, regional support. I've got a church in New Mexico, Legacy Church. God bless Pastor Steve Smotherman, who believes in what we're doing enough to sponsor, and One Way Christian Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Freedom Project, the Family Radio Network, Creative Edge, Lighthouse Christian Books, Verlo Mattress, American, what else? His Sword Ministries, Berkovitz Mechanical is a new one. Fearless Features, Mark and Amber Archer will be speaking at the conference. Delory Chiropractic, they're in DePere. Grace Christian Academy, and I think Our Amazing Grace, Scott Shera. So thank you guys so much. We're talking to more sponsors, but if you're interested, get a hold of us and let us know. So Brother Alex Newman, I'm going to give you the website, friends. It is libertysentinel.org. Good to see you. Thanks for your time.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me, brother.
All right, we'll get to your book. So you've been, before we get to some of these articles, you've been traveling a lot, speaking a lot. Thank you. I don't know how you do all that you do. You've been overseas. You've been speaking around the country at churches, at other events. What do you think Christians and conservatives need to hear about the times we're living in right now?
Well, one of the things that really jumped out at me, Dave, was I was in the Amazon a couple of months ago for the UN COP30 climate summit, and there was a lot of important things happening there. Like, the final agreement had this provision where the governments of the world enshrined the notion of a carbon budget, and they said we've already burned through 4/5 of our carbon budget, and in the interest of equity and justice, we got to let the Indians and the Chi-Coms burn through the little bit of what's left, which of course means you in America don't get any. But it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And, you know, thankfully, Trump didn't send anybody. He's already announced that we're getting out of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. We're getting out of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So these are good things. But what really jumped out at me, Dave, and I can show you this crazy picture. This was the official guardian spirit. Yeah, this was the official guardian spirit of the UN Climate Summit. We actually put it on the cover of the New American magazine. It was a gift by the Chinese Communist Party. And one of the stories that I wrote about it, which I think might be the most important takeaway, is we're watching the deliberate, the conscious repaganization of the world under the guise of climate change. And so the thinking is, they go back to this Professor Lynn White from the 60s who argued that Christianity, the biblical worldview, was the reason the planet was in an ecological crisis. And this was before the global warming hoax was even invented. Wow. And the solution was to go back to the pagan way of viewing things, where we're just, you know, we're like cockroaches, we're just part of Mother Earth and whatever. And we're watching that happen. You had all these people starting events at this UN summit with prayers to the river spirits and the forest gods and the rock deities. And like, Christians in America don't even realize this is happening, that it's being taught to their children. So I just implore people to pay attention. This is serious.
I want to just pause right there and let that sink in. A lot of people in America, especially Christian parents, don't know how much of this is in the curriculum in the government-run schools, and what Hollywood and the media and the Democrats and the lefties and corporations are pushing. Be sensitive to that, friends. Educate your kids. We'll talk about that more with Alex in a little bit. So let's go to the Middle East real briefly. We're going to tackle a lot of topics today, as many as we can with you, Alex. And you have an article and you did a video, U.S. enters Middle East conflict as battles intensify at home. Most of us are aware of the Middle East conflict. It's been going on, never ending, and Israel's always under attack. But now with America, you know, jumping in. But what do you mean the battles are intensifying at home? Please explain that.
Well, we have a lot of really critical fights that are happening at home. One of the obvious ones is Epstein, right? There must be justice. There must be accountability for these monstrous crimes. And yes, the sex trafficking of children, that needs to be addressed, but there's more too. I mean, this guy was operating what seems to have been a forced breeding program. He was engaged in genetic modification. I think he was trying to clone people. And there's huge evidence for this, so I hope we'll get a chance to talk to him. But some of these crimes are so monstrous, and he is connected to some of the most powerful people in the world that we can't just say, oh, okay, we'll move on to the next thing, or the stock market's doing really well. That's not okay. We have to hold these people accountable. The Bible says the purpose of government is to punish and restrain evil. If Epstein and his associates, if what they were engaged in is not evil, I don't know what is. And if the government cannot punish and indict and prosecute people who are engaged in these most monstrous of crimes, what do we even have a government for, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So those are some of the key battles. The cultural battles are still raging. We've got the trans stuff going everywhere. The hearts and minds of our children are being captured by the enemy as we speak. And so we've got a lot of battles raging at home. We need to be taking these things seriously. And just because there's a conflict going on in the Middle East doesn't mean that we can lose focus on what's going on right here at home, which is so critical.
Yes. And we're going to get back to Iran and talk about that in a minute. But since you brought up Epstein, we were going to go there. A lot of people, what's a good word for it? They become kind of like not exhausted, but they're just not, they're tuning it out because we've heard it for so many years, fatigued. So you did a recent article. It may have been an interview, but an article over on your Substack. What was Epstein really up to? Eugenics, transhumanism, and directed evolution. Talk to us a little bit more about that, Alex. I don't think a lot of people know that at all.
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the most important elements of what Epstein was doing. And you're right, nobody's talking about this. I mean, it's like total silence. And yet we have evidence of some of the most horrific things imaginable happening here. So I've done a multi-part series for my show Behind the Deep State about Epstein. Part three deals with this issue. And I've actually got a cover story in the New American Magazine that'll be coming out very soon. I encourage people to read it. And so long story short, Epstein was deeply involved with a whole bunch of academic institutions that were at the cutting edge of key branches of science, genetics, genetic modification, artificial intelligence, cloning. And we've got emails where he is openly talking about genetically modified embryos, his meetings with the egg people. We've got correspondence from victims where they talk about being used as breeders in this sort of forced breeding program, and then the children would be taken after birth. Some of this stuff gets really dark. And really, really horrifying. But when you combine it all together, I mean, you look, for example, at Epstein, one of his companies, it was called the Southern Trust Company. The purpose of this company, according to Jeffrey Epstein, was to create and study and analyze DNA, to create a DNA database, to use algorithms to understand what was going on with this DNA. And then you combine that with what we know was going on at the Zorro Ranch. Right. You combine that with what we know was going on at Epstein Island, and a very troubling picture emerges here. It seems to me like he was hoping, and many others have talked about this more openly, to take control. They believe in evolution. They believe in Darwinian evolution. And they believe that the genetic code is just basically like a computer program that you can hack. And so they're saying, well, why don't we edit it? And Jeffrey Epstein talks about this openly. He's in there talking to Noam Chomsky of MIT, talking about how black people are supposedly inferior. And like, wouldn't it be great if we could just use genetic modification to improve the human race? Like, the guy's nuts. And he was actually acting on these wicked, wicked ideas. It's hard to overstate the significance of this.
Well, you said he's nuts. Let's call it out. It's demonic.
That's
call
exactly
that
what
out.
It is.
So yeah. One thing, I just had Heidi St. John on the podcast. We were talking about being proud of America and the U.S. Olympics and the State of the Union. But we talked about, I believe her name is Alyssa Liu, the gold medal skater, whose dad used a surrogate to have kids. So Alyssa Liu, the gold medal winning skater, and her siblings were created by a single dad that just had the money and wanted to create babies. And so this is now starting to be a little bit more of a popular idea to some. And you did mention it in your subtitle of this article on Epstein that he was involved in some of this. Alex, what do you think causes this other than rejecting God and the creative order and God's design for humanity, for marriage, family, the need for a mother and a dad? Go ahead.
I think demonic, the word you used earlier, is exactly the word that is applicable here. I don't think you can understand this from a purely secular, materialist understanding of the world. There's something much darker here that's going on. And, you know, when you read the scriptures, there's some very interesting passages that the church has struggled to deal with. I mean, you go back and you read, like, Genesis chapter 6, for example. There's this interesting story about the sons of God mating with the daughters of men and creating these Nephilim. You see multiple references in the scriptures, including in the New Testament, in Jude and in Peter, to the book of Enoch, where these watchers, these fallen angels, share kind of these types of knowledge with mankind. So I think there really is a whole biblical level monstrous attack on the very genetic code that God wrote for us. And you dig into Epstein's files. Like he's got slide decks in there pitching a cloning program. Very enthusiastic. He's like, yeah, we just modify the embryo, we implant it, 9 months later, great, the baby pops out. We've got a slide deck where they're talking about mixing DNA from human beings with animals. These things are horrific, right? The genetic code is something that God wrote for each of us. And then you look at Bill Gates. He's been advertising and promoting this stuff since at least 2018, you know, genetically engineered babies. I think this has to be understood from the perspective of what Paul reveals in Ephesians 6, that we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood. Like, yeah, Epstein was a bad guy, but this is beyond that. We were talking here powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Like, this is straight demonic. And I think it's important for people to understand that this is the nature of reality, even if you don't see it necessarily with your eyes.
Okay, speaking of demonic, let's go on to another story that you talked about, and that is, you know, men and women, boys and girls, how God created us, male and female. A pageant winner speaks out, and you interviewed her recently after losing her title over gender ideology. Her name is Kaylee Bush from Florida. Tell us about this wake-up call, Alex.
So, really sweet girl. You know, she'd been wanting to compete in the Miss America pageant forever, and she ended up winning here in North Florida. She became Miss North Florida. And then the competition asked her to sign an updated contract that required her to compete against boys pretending to be girls and to act like this was all okay. And of course, she could not do that, so she had her crown stripped from her. It's a terrible, terrible story. And unfortunately, this is still happening, like, today, right? People think, like, well, Trump's president, and so everything's fine and well and dandy, and that's not the case. The culture is still in the sewer. We are still on the highway to hell, to borrow from AC/DC, and it's encouraging to know that there are young women and young people like this lady, Kaylee Bush, young girl, who are willing to stand for truth, who are willing to stand for their convictions. But the fact that that is a news item in and of itself tells you that, you know, this is unusual that people will stand for truth even in the face of consequences. So it was encouraging to talk to her, but at the same time, it's a symptom of a culture that is absolutely in collapse.
So what did she say, Alex? She said, we need men to step up.
Yep.
So where are the Christians? Where are the pastors? Where are the men, right?
It's a very good question. And, you know, God has a lot to say about men and how they should behave, and also fathers. The role of fathers is critical. And, you know, I love the Moms for Liberty. You know, they're fantastic. I love the Moms for America. They're great. But where are the dads? We need the dads to step up to the plate. We cannot just put it off on our wives to protect our children. We have an incredibly significant obligation. And I would point people to Psalm 78. You know, my pastor asked me to fill in on Father's Day. And so I looked and studied Psalm 78, and there's just such a clear warning there. When fathers, it's talking to fathers, when fathers don't do their job to disciple the next generation, to share with the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren the wonders of God, the laws of God, what God has done for us, what you'll see in Psalm 78 is it inevitably produces catastrophe. It inevitably produces calamity. And that's where we are today. We have fathers who don't take their responsibility as fathers seriously. We have husbands who don't take their responsibility as husbands seriously. And I mean their biblical responsibility, not like what the world tells us we should be, but what God tells us we must be. And it's one of the reasons, I think, why we're in the mess that we're in, because we have not followed God's instructions when it comes to how we are to behave as men, as fathers, and as husbands.
So in a minute, we're going to talk about Alex's brand new book with Robert Borton's called Woke and Weaponized, How Karl Marx Won the Battle for American Education and How We Can Win It Back. We'll talk about that more in depth in just a minute or two, but I wanted to mention the White House article on the Iranian regime's decades of terrorism against American citizens. There it is. We'll put the link in the rundown. Why? Because so many people don't understand. They're confused about whether they should support this recent attack on Iran. But going back to November of 1979, remember they grabbed the U.S. embassy in Tehran, taking 66 American hostages for 444 days. Then in April 1983, they killed 17 Americans. And then October 1983, they killed 241 U.S. military personnel, then a bombing. And then in, September 84, they killed 23 innocent people. I'm just skipping through this. April 1995, they killed 8 people, killed 20 people in March of 96. They killed 224 in August of 1998. That was an Al-Qaeda suicide bomber. Also, they killed 5 Americans July 2002. Suicide bomber outside of Jerusalem, 17 people in 2003. And it goes on. 109 U.S. troops suffered traumatic brain injuries in January 2020 after an Iranian ballistic missile attack. 603 U.S. troops were killed in Iraq between 2003-2011. And it goes on all the way to March 2020. Actually, I think it goes up to last year. So you can see how many Americans and people were killed by Iran. So make sure to get that if you want to have this for your information, friends, so you can respond to people when they don't understand the warfare here that's going on. So Alex, before we go to your book, do you want to comment on that briefly?
Yeah, the situation with the regime in Iran has been devastating for generations. And I would go back to Jimmy Carter, right? It was Jimmy Carter's regime that betrayed the very pro-America, very pro-West Shah of Iran, resulting ultimately in the collapse of his government and the rising to power of this group of unhinged totalitarian, I call them Islamo-Marxists, right? The relationship between these supposed Islamists and their allies in the communist world has always been very close. They remain very close, by the way, to the Chinese Communist Party, to Moscow, to the Kremlin. And they have been waging war on not just the United States, the great Satan and the little Satan, Israel, but also on the broader Christian world, what we used to call Christendom. And we need to understand that. Now, when it comes to this conflict, I think very highly of Pete Hegseth. In fact, I worked with him. He was kind enough to endorse my last book. I think he's a very capable man. And I appreciate very much what I think Donald Trump is trying to do here. I would like Congress to take a more active role because, you know, our Constitution does have a process for getting us involved into conflicts. It is true that, as the White House pointed out, the Iranian government has been killing Americans for decades, and that demands a response. It should have had a response a long time ago, whereas Barack Obama and Joe Biden were shoveling billions of dollars at them and helping them out in every possible way. But I would like to see Congress get involved in this whole discussion, because as Article 1, Section 8 makes clear, when our nation is going to be committed to a war, the House of Representatives and the Senate have a big say in that process. In fact, they're the ones who are supposed to be declaring war. And that doesn't mean they should micromanage it. It certainly doesn't mean that we should be giving Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib intelligence or secrets, but Congress should be involved in this process.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. And it shouldn't be a Republican-Democrat issue either. This is an American national defense, sovereignty, constitutional issue. Alex, Woke and Weaponized, you have written for, decades about the government-run school system and the history, and several great books on this. And your recent one now just came out, and it's a little bit more about Karl Marx and American education. Marxist indoctrination, the philosophical roots of educational corruption, and the ideological forces shaping your child's mind. Tell us more about this.
Well, I think it's an incredibly significant expose of what has happened here. So we do tell the history of how the government came to take over the school system, and we do show that this is not compatible with what the Bible teaches about education, about discipleship. Karl Marx has essentially won the victory, right? It was Karl Marx who publicly said that all children should be educated in government schools funded by the taxpayer. That was not a biblical idea. That was a Marxist idea. And before Marx, we actually start with Robert Owen, another communist, who shared the same vision. And they both had the same goal in mind. They wanted to use education, so-called, to turn children away from God, away from the Bible, away from their family, away from their country, and away from righteousness. So they've been very successful in that sense. They've got about 85% of our children today, and now they're going for the rest of them. We spent a lot of time in the book showing how the United Nations, a bunch of billionaires, George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, Bill Gates of hell, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, they're now coming after our Christian schools and our homeschools using very nefarious methods and means. And frankly, this is a critical issue. So we give some insight into what education looked like before the government took it over. And we give a lot of concrete action steps that parents can take to protect their own children and that we as the American people can take to start unwinding and unraveling this horrible thing that's been perpetrated against us and getting back to a sensible system where parents ultimately are the ones responsible for the education of their children.
So, Alex, I don't know if I'm a skeptic or I'm jaded. I hope not. But can we get back to it? I mean, what you said is a lot, and I agree that some of the ideas you have, if we could just implement them and get enough people engaged to fight this, I think it could happen. But I don't know. Just change my mind.
Well, it's a David and Goliath battle, Dave, as yep. you know, we're up against a system that has literally $1 trillion a year at its disposal, a system that is dumbing down our children, that turning them systematically against God. Yep. So it's not going to be an easy battle. But parents, right this moment, can take immediate action. In every one of the 50 states, you can look up your state laws before you do something. But depending on your state laws, tomorrow, you can choose not to put your children back on that school bus, and you can choose to get them a real education, a God-centered, Bible-centric education. And I think God commands us to do that, quite honestly. So that's the really good news. Maybe we can't rescue all of society. Maybe we can't rescue all of the children, but we can certainly rescue our own. And obviously, it's going to be a long fight. Nobody is under any illusion that we're going to wake up tomorrow and our state legislatures are going to disestablish this monstrous system. It would be nice, but that's not going to happen. We all know that. And so we actually provide concrete steps that would move us in the right direction without jeopardizing the independence of our Christian schools, of our church schools, our micro schools, our homeschool communities. There's so many options. I mean, Freedom Project Academy is a really good example. I mean, when we started this school many years ago, we always said we're never going to be taking money from the government. We're not going to play that game. We're going to teach children the truth from a biblical perspective. There's a lot of resources now for homeschooling. Homeschool Legal Yes. Defense Association has a scholarship fund. So does Freedom Project Academy. So does Classical Conversations, which is my co-author, Robert Bortons, is the CEO there. So there's a lot of options to help people, even who don't feel like they can do this financially. And I would urge people to be in prayer about it, consult the Word of God about it, and I think God will show you what you ought to be doing.
Well, I think public school exit, I think about it, there's so many resources, so many places people can get information or resources. But I'm thinking if you're a Christian parent in this day and age, and you pretty much know, I hope to God, you know what's going on in the K-12 system of education. I hope you know what the teachers' unions are behind and what the curriculum's pushing. So then the logical question is, why wait any longer to get your kids out and to teach them? Make sure you start them on the foundation of the Word of God. Alex, is Amazon the best place to get the book Woke and Weaponized?
It's definitely the easiest place, Dave. You'll get it overnight, free shipping, all that fun stuff. You can also get it at bookstores if you'd rather get it signed copy. You can go to my website, libertysentinel.org. I have to charge shipping, unfortunately. I don't know how Amazon does it. But yeah, so Amazon is definitely the easiest place to get a copy tomorrow. So
okay, so one more question, maybe two, but let's just start with this one. And John Dewey, we've talked about him on past podcasts, and you've talked and written about him for many, many years. We're talking about maybe a century of time here from the roots of educational corruption, from John Dewey to critical race theory and the nonsense that's happening in K-12 and academia today. It had to be so gradual, kind of like the frog in the not boiling water, but you warm up the water, heat it up, and then all of a sudden it's boiling. Can you explain that transition? That's about 100 years from A to B. Go ahead.
John Dewey articulated that. He did an essay in 1898 called The Primary Education Fetish, where he really advocated it in plain English, dumbing down the population. And he says, change must come gradually. To force it unduly would compromise its final success by favoring a violent reaction. He understood that this had to be slow. It had to be gradual. If parents, if teachers, if taxpayers understood what these people were up to, there would be violence. They probably would have been tarred and feathered. And that may have been the appropriate response when people figured out what he wanted to do to our children. So yes, it was gradual. And obviously it's accelerating now, right? I mean, just look at what has happened in the last 10 years. But they always understood it had to be gradual because America was a thoroughly Christian society that saw the world through a biblical lens. And so they had to do this generation by generation to avoid having the frog jump out of the pot, so to speak.
Yeah. So much more that people can learn about this. And I pray more Christian parents are getting up to speed. LibertySentinel.org. Alex, I appreciate all that you do. And man, you're a wealth of knowledge. And I'm thrilled that we squeezed you into our schedule here and you were able to work it up to come from Florida to Green Bay May 1st and 2nd for the Worldview Matters Conference. That's going to be a treat just to have you, and I'm just so thankful for that. But brother, there it is. There's all the speakers. We got Alex, so many other great speakers, all different areas of expertise. Biblical worldview, so important to understand what's going on, understand the times, and how Christians can respond. Brother, thank you for all that you do. Let's pray for Alex and his family. Blessings, protection, provision, and just thanks, Alex. God bless.
Thank you, brother. I'm humbled. I'm honored. It's a great joy to be on the program with you, and I look forward to seeing you very soon in Wisconsin. So God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, friends. Again, worldviewmattersconference.com and libertysentinel.org. We're just so blessed to get the caliber of speakers to come up to Green Bay. And also, again, sponsors, if you're interested, please give us a holler. We're probably going to put the ask out there for a couple weeks, and then at that point, we'll just focus on other things with the conference. But thanks, guys. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.